Pastor Sean, thank you for inviting me. And also with me is my wife and my two sons. We love Malaysia, we love the church. And of course, I have to say we love your durian. We had a fellowship over durian last night. It was wonderful, anointed, and sweet. All right. So today I'm going to talk about the Fantastic Four. Okay, anyone of you like Marvel movies? Anyone? All right, yeah. Okay, I guess you guys are very spiritual. But okay, I watch movies, okay? Yeah. So, of course, I'm not going to talk about the Fantastic Four with the setting in New York City, but it's a different Fantastic Four. But it's still fantastic. And it's even more fantastic than the movie that you watch. So the setting is not in New York, as I said, but in Capernaum, okay? If you've been to Israel, they will bring you to this city. And there's a gate with a sign, Capernaum, the city of Jesus, okay? That's what they label for, okay, one of the things for tourism, okay? Christians love to go to the sites like that. Wow, this is the city of Jesus. In Israel, wherever Jesus went, there was a sign that they managed to put. So they have a stone where Jesus, that's what they say, Jesus went up to heaven. There's a stone there, okay? Didn't know if it's the real one, but at least it's good for tourism. There's a tree where Zacchaeus went up and climbed, okay? So I asked the guide, so how old is the tree? Says, well, this old tree, pastor, about 600 years. I say, Zacchaeus went up to the tree like 2,000 over years ago. It didn't match, but anyway, they name it Zacchaeus tree, okay? So in Israel, you find anything about anything, all right? So, but this is the city of Jesus. And this is the city where Peter lived, okay? And I'm gonna read from Mark chapter 2 about a story, a familiar story that I think a lot of you, or if not all of you, have already read in Mark chapter 2. And when he returned to Capernaum, after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door, and he was preaching the word to them. He here referred to Jesus. So Jesus was at home. When you read Mark chapter 1, this home referring to Peter's home. So scholars say Jesus was staying at Peter's place. This is the headquarters of Jesus' ministry in Galilee. Jesus was at home. There was a service. And it says that it was so packed, there was no more room, no more seat available. This is every pastor's dream, right, Pastor Stephen? No more seat. Every seat is occupied. People standing in the auditorium, and pastors love it. I would love if on Sunday, well, every Sunday, almost every Sunday, we experience miracles in our congregation. This is a miracle. At the beginning of the service, I sit in front, worshiping God, and I look back, a lot of the seats are kind of empty. And then at the end of the worship, I come up, it's full. So miracle happens, but that's not the miracle that the Bible talks about. Here, last miracle, you guys come on time. time. All right? So give yourself a hand, all right? So let's come on time in the house of God, all right? Every nation, Malaysia, we don't need that kind of miracles, right? Okay, we want to honor God by coming to church on time so that the pastor would not experience weekly miracles at the end of the worship session, say, wow, people show up from heaven. No, yeah, because some of the people come late. Okay, so this is also about people coming late to the service. See, there was a full packed service. It says he was preaching and there was no room. So this is after praise and worship. The preacher's already preaching and the preacher is Jesus. No more room. So, if you go to Israel again today, they would bring you to Peter's house where the service happened 2,000 years ago. Okay? They renovate it, make it good for tourists so that tourists could come. All right? So, this is Peter's house. So, and they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Okay? The four men carried a paralytic. And they came late. They are part of that miracle. Okay? Coming late. So, and when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. So I imagine there was a conversation between these four men carried his friend, a paralytic, and wanted to enter the room. And they say, excuse me, sir, can we get away? Because our friend is really sick. He needs healing. And the man says, next time, come earlier. I reserve this seat. I come really early. You guys are late. Go to the next service. That's probably the conversation, okay? So these four men, I think were a bit disappointed, but they did not give up. During that time, there's every house have a stair going to the roof because the roof is flat, okay? So they thought, after discussing among themselves, they didn't give up. They didn't go home. They went up and did something that is really uncommon. Okay? They actually removed the roof above him. Him here is Jesus. Okay? They removed the roof. The roof during that time was not like our modern roof. This is full concrete, right? So during that time, they use mud and also palm branches, mix it together and becomes the roof. It's easier to take out, okay? But can you imagine if during the service like this, someone from upstairs trying to take off the roof, there'll be dust. Ladies will not be happy because after the service, you have to go to salon and have your hair washed, right? We don't like disturbance in our service. Everything has to be in order. But can you imagine? I don't know how long they have to do this, but it's kind of messy. So, I don't know whether Jesus continued preaching or he stopped and kind of like helped the guys and say, okay, put him down. Yes, I don't know. But it's going to take a while. And it's going to take coordination from the four of them. All right? And this is not going to be easy. Okay? So, well, by the way, this story also recorded in the other two gospels, synoptic gospel, okay? This is on the book of Mark. So if you go to the book of Matthew and Luke, you will find the story as well. But in the book of Matthew, there was no stories about the roof. Now, we all know that the Gospel of Mark was written by Mark, of course, but actually, it's an eyewitness account, so it's actually Peter's experience, because Mark was not there, so Peter told the story to Mark, and Mark recorded to become part of his gospel. Matthew didn't pay attention about the roof. Peter paid attention about the roof because it's his house. It cost him something, okay? So he remembered and he told Mark, make sure you record. It's the roof, okay, not the door. And after this thing, we have to fix it. And it's a lot of money. Because of one, four of these friends went up to the roof and bring his friend down. To Peter, he remember it costs a lot to bring one to Jesus. Well, the church could be like the four men or the crowd. We could be the church that really eager to listen to the preaching of the word, which is great. We need to do that. But sometimes we feel distracted when one that is not like us want to get near Jesus. Because the people didn't like it during that time. But the four of this man's friend went all the way to bring this man to Jesus. The question to us, are we like the rest of the people that attend the service, listen to Jesus attentively, but didn't care about one that need to be there for miracle? Or we could be like the four that went all the way to bring that one man to Jesus, whatever the cost. It takes a church to win one. It takes probably a life group. What do you call it here? Small group? Life group? Life group. To win one soul to Jesus. For my case, it takes a family to bring me to get to know Jesus. My family had a good family friend. A family is a medical doctor. Okay, it's very nice Christians. Invited my parents to go to church. I was still in high school. After several invitations, my parents actually became, we call in Indonesian, there's a word called sungkan. I don't know the Malay word here. There's no one English word to translate. 不好意思. Okay. I try to show off my Mandarin. That's about what I know. Okay. So my dad told the doctor, we are so busy, but I think my son will want to go to church. And then he told me, this doctor invited us. We don't want to go to church. We don't we are not the type that go to church. You go to Catholic school, so you go to church. So I went to church. After many, many, many weeks, without fail, this couple, okay, the doctor, the wife, and the daughter, okay? Every week, picked me up, brought me to church, and I got saved. So I guess it's okay to make someone in the condition where he feel how easy, and then go to church with you. If some of you come to church because your good friends keep on inviting you, and right now you are in this auditorium because God loves you and you feel that sungkan and come to church, and it's okay because God loves you, your friends love you. And then after I got saved, many years later I become a pastor, I text them because they moved to the States and say, thank you. You become that four men every week come to pick me up. And now I got saved and God called me to become a pastor. The question, what is the value of one soul? I know the classic answer is priceless, Pastor. It's priceless. And it's true, it's priceless. But in the gospel, Jesus liked to make it more practical so we all understand what priceless means. In this case, it's the disturbance of the roof, fixing the roof, okay? Disturb a service. In another setting, Jesus went to heal this demon-possessed man, okay? At the area of Gadarenes, there were 2,000 pigs there, okay? And the demon somehow requested Jesus to go to the pigs, and all the pigs went to the lake and they could not swim. They all died. 2,000. I know there are many businessmen here. You are good in math. Let's say, I don't know the price of a pig. Let's say it's a 1,000 ringgit. 2,000 pigs means what? 2 million ringgit. One demonized guy got healed. I know if I ask, who among you think that's too much? You wouldn't raise your hand. But in your heart, in my heart even, my goodness, 2 million ringgit for one soul? Demonized soul? That's too much. It's not too much if that one soul is you. Am I right? You would be so grateful if the paralytic is you, or your dad, or your mom, or your brother. But how about if it's someone that you don't know? That becomes too much. Church, we are called to reach the one. For these four people, the one is their friend. That's why we go for mission. To reach the one that we might not know. And it's costly. Mission is costly. But it's worth it. In the story, Jesus didn't rebuke the four of them and say, guys, you can do in a better way. You could be wiser. Sometimes because we try to be wiser, we didn't do anything. There's nothing wrong becoming wise, but sometimes we lost the love and we have an excuse being wise. Because we didn't want to do what the four men actually did. First vibe. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." When Jesus saw their faith, I thought supposed to be when Jesus saw his faith. It's the paralytic, right? When you read in another gospel, I tried to make sure Mark didn't put it wrong. It's the same. When Jesus saw their faith, the four guys' faith, Jesus say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven." Now you say, "Wait a minute. I thought it has to be the person's faith." Yes, but it's also the one that brought that person to Christ. To the centurion, when the centurion come to Jesus and he said, "Jesus, my servant at home was sick. You could just say a word, my servant would be healed." Jesus saw whose faith? The servant's faith or the centurion's faith? Centurion faith. When Syrophoenician woman come to Jesus pleading for her daughter, and Jesus healed the daughter, whose faith? The daughter's faith or the woman's faith? I'm not saying the personal faith is not important, but church, do we have faith for the one to get saved? Do our life groups care about each other, or we care enough for one other that is not in our life group yet? Do we have faith for that? Sometimes the one that Jesus wants us to reach, it's so different from us. Jesus had to go to this area, the area of the demon-possessed man, the Gadarenes. That's not a Jewish area for one man. 2 million ringgit and the storm going to that place. I thought, if I calculated the mission trip, it cost Jesus so much. The storm, just to meet one and got him healed. But when we track the stories, that's when Jesus come back to the area and give 4,000 people food to eat. We remember, right, the 5,000, Jesus healed 5,000 people. Why do you think that you hear the miracle of the 4,000 less? I've never preached the miracle of 4,000. I don't know the pastor's years. I always pick the 5,000. To me, it's, why pick the 4,000 if there's 5,000? More compelling, right? 5,000. You know, this is two different groups. 5,000 is to the Jews. The 4,000 is a non-Jews. But it started with one demon-possessed man that got healed. We never know that one person that we bring to Jesus. The doctor didn't know that the one high school student that they reach out turned out to become a pastor. They didn't know. We never know who we reach. But that for that one person, for the paralytic, thank God that he has four friends that love him so much, go to all the trouble to bring him to Jesus. Now, some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their heart, why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, and said to them, why do you question their things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic. Which one is easier? To heal or to say, your sin is forgiven? This is not about which one is easier for Jesus to do. For Jesus, it's easy to heal a sick, and it's easy to just say your sin is forgiven. But the context is, which one is more convenient? Because when Jesus say your sin is forgiven, the scribes would question his authority. Say, who do you think you are? Do you think you are divine? The answer is yes, right? But it created a chaos, right? So Jesus was telling them, I don't go for the easy way. I go for the way that my Father sent me to do. Church, we are called to do not the easy way. In Indonesia, we have friends from other beliefs. Some of their leaders come believing miracles for Christians to pray. So I got called for one of my friend, which is from the other belief, and I say, do you mind praying for my wife? He's in the hospital. I know you Christians, you believe in miracles. Well, that's not their heart. I just pray. He said, just pray over the phone. He has so much, but you don't have even to go to come to the hospital. Just pray over the phone. Okay? And he said, your Jesus could heal. Okay. It's one thing to pray for the sick, but the other thing, to share the gospel to this guy, because it could be offensive, right? But sometimes we need to go over our convenience to share the love of Jesus to other people that is not like us. The last verse. I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. I hope every nation, Malaysia, and all over the world, people would say, we never saw anything like this. We never saw anything like this. The miraculous way that God could not only heal a paralytic, that God could transform his life forever. We are the Fantastic Four that God is looking. Not because we are so good in our theology, which is very important. I saw 215 graduates last in the conversion. I was so encouraged. We encourage our people, the leaders in Indonesia, to also go to, we have L113 and L215. I think you guys combined together. We want them to be theologically sound. But theologically sound is not enough if our heart is not changed by the Holy Spirit. wants us to be like the four people. They could be ridiculed. They could be thought of a lot of things, but they didn't care. Because to them, that one person is important. Do you want to be the four to reach the one? Here, there's a 3-2-1. I'll add 4-3-2-1. How about you need four to have a 3 minutes conversation for this one to get saved? Let's pray. Father God, thank you that in our life, there are the four people, four friends, a family, a life group, a church that reach out to our life. That's why we are here. We are in this room because there are other people that pray, that seek, that did and everything that they could to get me, to get out of their comfort zone so that I right now can be part of this family of God. Lord, I pray you work in our heart so we become the four that help the one to meet Jesus. We cannot change the one, but we can always bring the one to you. Not only that they can be healed for their physical condition, not that they will be helped only because they have things that they need, miracles that they desire, but the greatest miracle is when they receive the forgiveness of their sins. Thank you, Lord, that we are the one once and we meet you. You forgive us. Let us be the four to bring the one. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.